welcome back to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror, a supernatural retrospective. We are your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We're here to talk about more episodes of Supernatural, to give you those good quality reviews, and just to talk more about season 7 as we're wrapping it up.
Almost there.
Yes. This week we watched Party on Garth, Of Grave Importance, and The Girl with the Dungeons and Dragons Tattoo.
It's a good one. Good title.
It is a good one. For the first episode, Party on Garth, this is the Garth episode, too.
Wonderful.
Yes, it is a really, really good episode. Because it's just all about Garth.
Garth has style, okay? Love him.
He is such an icon, and he's honestly one of the best characters in Supernatural that we get to keep. He was the guy in the beginning, even though we've met him before for the season 7 Time for Wedding one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the whole thing with Bobby. Garth, how are you still alive?
He just is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing what he does, rolls in, burns the bones, has a late night snack.
The ghost has been Garthed.
Garth's the ghost, yes. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that.
Yeah, this whole episode was hilarious. Before we really get into Garth, we do learn from the last episode, the Born Again Identity, that Cass is asleep or something. We don't really get much else for the last few episodes. He's asleep and Meg's kind of watching him, or there's been no change. And Dean is like, please call us when there's a change.
Right.
Please.
Thanks, Meg.
Yeah, seriously.
What a bitch.
I literally was going to say that. What a bitch.
She's doing you a favor.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, she is a demon and that's not optimal.
No.
What are you going to do?
But anyway, Garth calls Dean for help.
Mm-hmm. And Dean doesn't immediately remember who he was.
Which is bananas, because I feel like you would remember this dude. He has...
How could you forget Garth?
He's very memorable, so I don't know what Dean... I don't know.
A lot's happened to Dean, I guess, kind of recently, so
yeah.
That's fair.
But this was the episode with the... Shoujo. With the Shoujo, where you have to be drunk to see the ghost, and it's supposed to be after you, and yada, yada, yada. I enjoyed this because I thought it was funny how the boys, you know, don't know anyone who speaks Japanese anymore because Bobby's dead. Mm-hmm. So they just go to this poor person who's, I don't know, working in some Japanese restaurant, I guess.
He's rich now. They keep paying him because they keep needing his help.
Could you imagine working at this restaurant? And of course, like, some racist comes up and is like, hey, can you read this for me? And this guy's like, I guess. It always just reminds me of all that stuff that, I don't know.
I'm just
like every Asian person, they're just, dude, I'm from Michigan or something.
Are you just thinking of psych? Dude, I told you 5 words.
Yeah, or that, and there was something else.
I swear, I could picture Dean just walking into this Japanese restaurant being like, hi, yeah, I ordered the 9,000 sushis. Also, does anyone here actually speak Japanese? I need some help. I will pay you.
Yeah, I bet. Or they seem to be like sketchily in the back, so I wonder if this poor guy is just
for the bus boy to take out some trash.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, do you speak Japanese? And this guy's like, what? He's like, I'll pay you.
Listen, not meaning to profile you, but do you speak Japanese? Because I need some help.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think it's funny.
What is their life?
I mean, they do get to work. The guy does speak Japanese.
He does.
He seems very scared.
Well, that's...
He's like, this is a shoujo. This is bad juju, guys.
I don't
like,
want
are
this.
Are you superstitious? And they're like, nah, yeah.
So he gives it back to Sam, and Sam just like, is this a cursed object?
Like, oh, yikes.
Sam's a little bit, why?
Well, that's okay. I do find it interesting for these people, you know, they have to be drunk. A, the boys trying to get drunk was hilarious. Dean, I'm thinking he was drinking moonshine, it seemed like.
I don't know what it was. Sam, can you even get drunk anymore?
Dean was cringing. It must be pretty bad
It was probably some old liquor bottle, and they were like, here, I'll put the moonshine in this.
Seriously. And he was just chugging it back.
They were throwing him
he
back.
He drank half the bottle.
There was about half left, and he drank all of it.
I was so impressed. Well, even Dean was like, I think I feel something.
He got the sweats. It was so funny.
I know.
Like, oh.
The boys being drunk, they're just so useless.
We deserve to see this more often. It's funny.
They are so useless, though.
They were
Sam
okay.
Could not. No. They kept just saying,
this is not what it looks like. We can explain. You know, the thingy.
Okay, listen. They're not supposed to be found by the people who own the place they're breaking into.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so they're okay even until that happens.
I don't know. They struggled, and I thought that was just so funny.
And Sam couldn't cute his way out of it.
No, they were too inebriated. It was just funny.
And then Garth is so wholesome this whole entire time. He, you know, is chugging his beer, which I understand craft beer can be a little higher percent alcohol. But I know craft beer is usually over 8%. But he drinks one beer. And Sam and Dean are just like, what? Are you drunk, Garth? And he's like, yeah, I drank an entire bottle of beer. What do you expect of me?
I just drank a whole beer. Of course I'm drunk. I love him.
Dean was shook. What is my life? He's thinking. I don't know.
Oh my God, Garth. He literally probably weighs 10 more pounds than that small girl who took a sip of her mom's adult orange juice.
Oh my gosh, that girl.
She was instantly.
See, drunk, that was. Apparently. I was like, that's not real.
It was unrealistic, but that was really funny. And I'm like, well, to be fair, she weighs, I don't know, 55 pounds.
She took one sip, though.
Could have been a big sip. I don't know her.
How much booze was, I guess, to be fair, a screwdriver?
She didn't have that much
pretty
orange juice in there in the first
place.
Yeah,
and she was doing two shots of vodka.
Also, what irresponsible. Well, I guess she seems to be
drinking while watching her child.
Drinking while watching her child while. Her,
in the middle of the day.
I don't think it was the middle of the day. It was the evening, but
it
still.
It kind of was.
You don't put her regular orange juice next to your adult orange juice. I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, like.
That was entirely your fault, honey.
Or take it with you to the door when you're going to answer it.
I guess she did pay because she did die.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story.
Here. Moral of the story, if you do that, you'll die because some Japanese ghost will come to kill you. Mm-mm.
Garth is also wholesome, and I totally forgot about this part of the episode. Mr. Frizzles?
Mr. Fizzles?
Mr. Fizzles, that was it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Garth, what?
He's an icon. There's not a better hunter
even
out there.
Dean, again, shook. I think he is so surprised by Garth, but also not surprised at all of anything he does.
He's like, nothing this man does makes sense as one person, except that it's Garth, and so it makes
sense.
It
does, yeah.
He got the room with the hot tub. He's like, yeah.
You know, oh, yeah. He paid for a nice motel room.
After like a long day on the job or whatever, he's like, you want a little soak? It's like, I guess.
He's living his best life.
Everyone needs to live their life like Garth because he's living his best life. I'm jealous.
But with Garth starts to think that Bobby may be around because of this flask. That his EMF, which first of all, I love that he said something along the lines of, oh, mine's broken again, so I just borrowed yours. Dean's like, are you kidding me?
Garth is just being responsible, Dean.
Yeah, but first of all, this episode had weird flashbacks.
Oh, it was just the one. It was a little weird, but they're just trying to make sure you knew it was a flashback, I guess.
I guess. I think, this is my whole point about Supernatural. Tries to help the audience more than it needs to.
People
are so stupid.
And we are stupid, but not that stupid.
Yeah. Honestly, it always reminds me of the fact, I'm pretty sure Robert Singer said this. I don't remember what it was about, but it was about showing something in your hand that you kind of need a show that's used for later.
Okay. I would help you, but I haven't heard this before.
No, I'm pretty sure Robert Singer was talking about this because he was talking about directing an episode of Supernatural. Yeah. I think it was later. But it was something along the lines of, you know, you show your character looking at their watch. It's not necessary for whatever reason other than, I don't know, say if they lose the watch. Oh, it was Ash. It was about Ash's death.
Okay.
That's exactly what it was. And so if you remember back when Ash was like, look at my watch, man, and it's some high-tech calculator. For no other reason why they pointed that out. And it was a dumb shot because you do see they zoom up on Ash's watch for no other reason other than to confirm later when the roadhouse burned down that was Ash's watch in the rubble because he had an off-screen death. And I remember Robert Singer was talking about this because he said that he hates doing those shots, but you have to do them because the audience is stupid and you wouldn't notice that. But at the same time, you can do it in a way that you don't have to call attention to it.
It's not too obtrusive.
Yes, just kind of bring it up. And I thought they did that here in Party on Garth with the stupid glass. Garth was not being overly obvious. Mm-hmm. It's Garth. You could have done that as a thing. But then later on, you have to put it as a flashback.
Yeah.
Just for the audience to be like, oh, yes, confirm that's what Garth is doing. Like, what?
Dean doesn't like that, though. Garth's suggestion that Bobby might still be there.
Well, even Sam then says, first of all, he said he got a spirit board,
talking board.
Oh, was it a talking board?
Yes, yeah, talking board, because that's what they're called.
Yeah, but don't people call them spirit boards too?
Yeah, there's several names for
Ouija. Is Ouija board. Trademarked?
Yeah, it's a brand. It's,
is it really?
Yeah, Hasbro was just like, we're calling it a Ouija board. Talking boards have been used forever.
I know. Yeah. But I thought it was funny that Hasbro patented it. Anyway, but yeah, Sam said that he got it out. And also I was like, Sam, I don't know. That also bothered me that Sam
said that. They have one?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? I'm sure Bobby probably had one amongst his stuff.
Oh, yeah, I guess
it
Bobby
would be weird not to.
I don't
know. Just go to the store and buy one.
They have limited trunk space. It's not usually imperative to a hunt.
No,
so
but
I'm
they
just
have,
like, where would they keep it?
No, but remember, they were going through Bobby's
storage units. They'd go through his stuff. You're right.
No, they have stuff. Even John had stuff going on the road. He just had giant storage units around the U.S. But anyway, I just thought it was funny because even the first week, Dean was the one who brought it up to Sam after the whole beer incident.
Yeah.
So two things. Dean was the one who pointed to the flask and was like, maybe it's Bobby. And Sam was, no, it's not. And then Sam here in this episode said after the beer incident, he asked and he brought up the whatever spirit talking board and said that he didn't hear anything. So I'm just sitting here kind of like, Sam, you're not this stupid. Why would you not think that maybe it's the flask that he's attached to? Or what could he possibly be attached to? You burned his body. Obviously, it has to be something.
I mean, true, but he also wasn't fully convinced. Sam seemed less convinced than Dean.
I'm just saying Sam wasn't the smartest cookie to be like, yes, this is confirmation that Bobby's not here.
He had just lost his dad. Okay, he wasn't thinking straight. The grief and such.
Yeah, I guess. He can also tell Dean.
He was upset.
Because Dean, I think...
Well, Dean would have got real mad at him, kind of like he did here. He's like, are you serious? We'll have words.
Well, it would have worked, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying Sam was...
I think Dean's just kind of upset that his grieving process has been disrupted.
Yeah. I do like at the end, though, after everything's all said and done, and Garth leaves.
Bye, Garth. So wholesome.
Because he's a hugger. Hugs. That. But Sam just turns to Dean and just says, so let's talk about it. Just full on nothing. Let's talk about it. Dean's kind of just like, there's nothing to talk about, Sam. What do you want?
What do you want from me?
I know. I like how Sam's just kind of just like, I don't know. Come on.
Sam's like, I'd like to talk about this being a possibility.
Yeah. And Sam knows that Dean's mad at him for not telling him and yada, yada, yada. And I don't know.
Well, Dean, so let's talk about it.
Well, and even
Sam's
Dean,
inviting you to a conversation.
To be fair, it's really hard because it's that whole thing of, does Sam even say that? That he's looking for stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So Dean
wanting
all
it,
this,
wanting it to be Bobby, looking for signs that it would be Bobby.
It would be, normal things that would happen. Right. And you're just looking for like, oh yeah, it's Bobby.
Yeah, Dean, maybe we're normal people about something for once. Wild.
Yeah, and we do get that confirmation at the very end that Bobby actually is there in spirit form. But the boys don't see him.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So the next episode is that Bobby is back. Bobby's trying to communicate with the boys, but they get a call from their old friend, Annie, who is working a case in this town. And we do find out, which I asked this when Dean said something along the lines of, oh yeah, he was picking up those little feisty redhead or whatever with Annie. And so did Bobby sleep with Annie? Is that what the idea was from that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because then Dean...
Yes, that was the whole, that was the exact whole point of this.
That was just so funny that Dean's just like, ooh, yeah, well.
When, yeah, Dean or Sam,
first of all, Dean was like, I also did that. And Sam was just kind of like, guess it runs in the family, I guess. And he's like, oh, no, you didn't. Sam's like, I didn't have a soul. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I was soulless at the time. But you know what? I respect you.
I respect you,
both
Annie.
Both boys. Wow. Yeah. I'm impressed.
No one, I don't think, has ever done that.
I can't think of anyone. I can't.
I'm impressed.
Wow, she's a queen.
Yeah.
But also weird and unnecessary.
I know. Well,
it
I
is a
like
Buck Lemming episode.
Both of the boys, I feel like, were like, ew.
Like, this is, I'm uncomfortable.
That's weird.
Yeah. I don't like having this knowledge.
No, yeah.
In my head, I didn't need that. But really quick, it is a Buck Lemming episode, and surprisingly, it's not really terrible. Like, I don't have
it was weird.
Super big complaints about this.
So I thought it was weird because they added stuff that, what was his name? The evil guy?
Von Ness or something. Well,
yeah. That he could take people's souls out or something. Like, he could kill the ghosts.
Right, he absorbed their so I guess, I don't know, life essence, or something?
Yeah. What is that about?
That was an interesting take.
It wasn't like he was someone super important or like a witch before he died. He was just some dude who murdered people. And then he died in the house.
Maybe if you're a murderer, you can do that when you're a ghost.
Bullshit.
I don't know.
Just weird stuff that Buck Fleming likes to add. That was a little reason.
They do like to add strange things. They're like, this is canon now. And we're like, is it though?
It's never brought up ever again.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever see a ghost draining the energy of other ghosts. This is a one-off.
No, it was dumb. But anyway, so the boys go to try to get Annie, right? And of course, Annie's dead. But right. I do like that Bobby's trying to get the boys' attention the whole time. I think it's really funny that they're just ignoring him. Also, these boys are really not that bright. Because he was trying. He was moving stuff. And he's like, God, will you look when I'm trying to do this?
And he's like, please, I'm trying to help you. Can you just help me a little bit? Help me help you.
But Bobby being inside this house with all the other ghosts actually kind of freaked me out. That I was like, there's a lot of ghosts in here. A little weird. I do really enjoy that once he got in the house. Hi, I'm Bobby. I'm dead. We got a lot in common. Je m'appelle Bobby.
Anybody? No.
Anyone? No. Okay. Bye. And he's like, Bobby, what are you doing here? It's like, I'm dead. You're dead too, Annie. I'm sorry. Oh, that was another thing that Buck Fleming added, was the ghost Alzheimer's. What bullshit is that? We've known in the past that ghosts go crazy after a while because they turn into vengeful spirits and then they just kind of...
Well, they kind of just go crazy.
Their spirit was like decaying.
I think that was just supposed to be a visual to distinguish between one of those show things you got to show people instead of telling them. Although we did both, so that was kind of strange. But I guess they had to look kind of crazy. But you could get someone with crazy eyes.
I don't know. It was just weird. Well, no, because the one girl faded out of existence. Why did they have to show the other people? She looked bananas too. It was so weird. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. That's never brought up really again either.
Well, crazy ghosts are brought up again.
Yeah, because they've turned vengeful because it's the whole thing of, you know, anger is just festering and festering and festering until it can't be let out. So you just turn angry and vengeful.
Well, it's not even vengeful. You just get crazy because, you know, you're still dead. You're stuck in this in-between place. It's not like any particular person, because if it takes you like 50 years to go crazy, most of the people you know are probably already dead.
I know, but it made it seem that the ghost just forgets everything about themselves, and it just didn't make any sense. I don't know. It was just weird.
Your complaint is the equating it to Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I guess that's my whole thing.
That's fair.
I do find a very odd character flaw in this episode, that Dean was showering with the door open.
It's not that they had something to discuss, so they're discussing it. Maybe Dean jumped in for a really quick shower.
He could have cracked the door. That shit was wide open. That's weird. And then he jumps out of the shower. Wait, see, that just doesn't make any sense. Although I did point out that he put on a shirt, but he had a towel around his waist.
You noticed that? I didn't.
It was in the mirror. Before it got fogged up.
Right.
All I saw was white. And Dean's not wearing white pants.
No, he's not wearing
white. So I was like, that must be a towel. Pants. Because his towel was white.
Right. That would make sense.
That would make sense. I don't know. I thought it was weird that he put on a shirt and left the towel on.
Well, that was kind of bananas. That was a weird thing. You know, either you get fully dressed or like, what's this t-shirt and towel situation?
Yeah.
You got going on here.
The door's wide open. I don't know. I was just like, what is going on?
I don't know, maybe, I was gonna say maybe he didn't want to steam up the whole bathroom, but then he needed the steam and Bobby's writing words on there, and...
That doesn't make any sense.
Listen, just let him shower with the door open for once.
Why? He would want it shut for privacy!
Sam was talking to him, they had stuff to talk about.
They can yell about it through the door.
Listen.
What is so important that Dean's 2-second shower couldn't be 2 seconds in peace?
It was important that they talk about this.
Yeah.
To be fair, it really goes back to, why did you write him? I guess the only reason to write him taking the shower was that, but you also, I guess, had to cram in this stuff. They couldn't talk about that in the Impala.
Because he shut the door anyway. No, he got changed with the door open.
Right, the door was, yeah, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So they couldn't just cut to Dean in the shower and then getting out of the shower and then for Bobby to be like, let me write this on here. And then Dean calls Sam and opens the door and is like, Sam, please tell me you wrote this. And Sam's like, what are you talking about? And then I see the message. There was no other reason other just to save the scene, kind of, I think.
Well, I just mean that they were talking before while Dean was in the shower. Whatever they were talking about before while Dean was in the shower could have been talked about in the Impala.
That's what I'm saying. That was unnecessary.
And then you follow it with that, and that would make sense.
Well, because that's what I'm saying, that the whole point of Dean being in the shower was to do that scene. Right. There was no other reason for that.
Right, it was important that they fog up the mirror.
And so I don't know why they couldn't just, yeah, exactly, push that back somewhere, but they're idiots.
You said it, not me.
Listen, again, bad writing, man. You have to spell it out for the audience, really?
You gotta.
It always makes me angry when there's a reason why people do stuff instead of the scene just flows. That's the difference between a character-driven story and a plot-driven story. It's exactly the point right here. The plot-driven story, in this sense, is we have to get the boys back here, so we have to get them here. How do we get them to do this? So we have to put a Dean in the shower, but they have to talk about this. So they're right. It's like, okay.
How do we get all stupid? Cram all these events in here? They're all necessary, but then they all have to be in a certain order. So how do we cram all them in there together?
Yeah. And it's unnatural, and I just don't like it.
Open bathroom door. We've solved it. I cracked it.
God.
Sam's sitting, there's papers all over the place. It's like 11:30 p.m. They're like, the bathroom door's open, guys. I've cracked it. Rewrite the scene.
Finally, at the end of the episode, after everything goes kind of to their plan, they get to see Bobby.
Oh,
Bobby's a little shook at first.
I know. Again.
Hey, you guys can see me? Finally!
So, I know.
It's like, oh, Bobby, is it really you? I'm so excited for Bobby to be back.
I love Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's wonderful. He's like, thank God. Oh my. Working these kids with you boys is terrible.
Well, he even said in the beginning of the episode, these boys have gotten stupider since I've left.
I know he's
they
only
have.
Bobby. Listen, they don't have Bobby, you know, yourself, to call and ask questions 900 times a day. They have to do it all on their own. It's hard for them.
I guess.
It is. There's only so much lore they can pack in their little tiny noggins. They also can't speak Japanese. Bobby, they need you.
Yeah, that's fair. They do learn how to go from there, though. From the next character in the next episode, Charlie!
We love and respect Charlie in this house.
We finally get Charlie. I was so excited. This is one of the only best episodes in season 7.
This is the reason season 7 is acknowledged at all.
Honestly, the best character in the entire show, as I just said about Garth.
One of the best side characters in the entire show.
Yes.
Fair.
And I do really like her. This episode is also just fantastic as a standalone episode, too.
Oh, it's fun.
I feel it. Yeah, it's just, it's funny. It's
Robbie Thompson delivers.
Yeah, it's kind of thrilling. You get some canon stuff in there.
It's got everything. What more could you ask of an episode of Supernatural?
I did forget in the beginning that there was a bunch of flashbacks because Bobby finally gets to tell the boys what's kind of going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much confirms it, that the entire world is going to be turned into cows.
Yep.
And the humans are the beef. And I do hate and love that analogy because that's exactly what happens.
High concept.
Yeah. And it makes sense because they're trying to cure cancer so we don't die. And that's, you know, what they do for cows. They want to make sure they're healthy and then they can get good meat. And, you know, we're not going to let the really good ones live. We'll slaughter them for veal before. So it's just kind of this weird. I mean, it's a genius idea.
Oh, no, this is a fantastic idea. And I mean, even, big brain thinking.
Even Dean said something along the lines of, what do you mean we took that Biggerson's thing down? And Bobby's like, are you stupid, boys? They've popped up a million new ones.
They bought 10 other chains.
And that was the whole thing that the
they're realtor, determined.
The realtor even said that this is happening everywhere. Boys, why would you not think that this is not happening everywhere?
Okay, most monsters they've encountered haven't been this, I don't know, politically savvy.
Dude, if Jeff Bezos was trying to take over the world...
That's what I'm saying. You're just used to hunting single werewolves. This is a lot to take in.
They stop the apocalypse. They're fine.
Listen, it's still a lot to take in.
I guess. However, I do love when we see Charlie and she's just fantastic talking to her friend. And she gets called in to do a special job for Dick Roman, right?
Yikes.
And she comes in. She's like, I'm sorry. I'll do whatever. And Dick's like, what are you talking about? I need you to crack open this file and see what this random dude was trying to take over our company and blah, 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 blah. And all I could think about is in that moment is, could you imagine, I bring up Jeff Bezos again, working for Amazon as just some warehouse worker. And all of a sudden, Jeff Bezos walks in and was like, hey, I got a task for you. Do it or you're losing your job.
3 days.
3 days. Don't disappoint me.
Here.
And you're okay.
Okay.
It hit me like, oh, you're one in a million, Charlie. Didn't you made up the comments here of like, oh, are you gonna kill me?
Yeah.
How do you know me?
Yeah. It's just like, oh, I don't want to be recognized by you. No, thank you.
Seriously.
No, thank you. please find someone else to do this.
I do love that she hacks it in like a day. Not even like not a whole even. Day too, which was I loved it.
Which is really good because Frank was crazy.
Yeah, Frank was crazy.
Yeah.
But Frank had all the intel on Dick Roman.
Well, yeah. And she impressively hacked it in less than a day. That's what I'm saying. She is clearly the best.
She does say later that nothing is really unhackable.
I mean, it's not, but...
she's got to figure out the loops to jump through.
Right. And Frank threw her through a couple of loops. We saw with that weird game thing that happened. So she was like, okay, this guy's kind of clever.
I know.
Oh, this is going to be a little bit of work for me.
We do get our 30th blood cannon when they kill the other manager, Pete or something, when Dick Roman kills him.
Yeah, I thought that was fair. It was a zoomed out blood cannon, but I think we could still count it.
Yeah, even if it was splatter. I think anytime we think of blood cannon, I literally think of a PA getting a t-shirt launcher and going...
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what blood cannon is. But I feel like we should count this one because they did do, you know... they singled it out and they did the... You know, it was just... it was a new guy. It malfunctioned. It didn't get all the guts on there, so...
yeah. Because you have to think about, I think you could make blood splatter or cannon sometimes just from, you know, a PA taking their hands in a bucket and going, like, throwing it. But sometimes it's too powerful.
The PAs are the cannons.
Yeah. But the boys get to meet Charlie. It's fantastic. They convince her to do this hunt for them to get into Dick Roman's emails.
Yeah, she's like, I absolutely should not do this, but also... I'm the only one who can do this, so I have to.
She was pretty much just, this would be a dick move.
She's like, what kind of asshole?
Like, would just walk away.
Let all my friends and family become food, and also me, once I become dispensable to Dick Roman. She's not wrong. And she kills it, too.
She does. She does need that pep talk from Sam about the Harry Potter, which I loved. Sammy,
yes.
Although Dean being, what are you doing? What is Sam? Or just laughing, and Dean's like, shut up.
Working. Shut up.
Shut up. It's working. Sam just laughing in the background too when Dean tries to get Charlie to flirt with that guy.
He successfully gets Charlie to flirt with that guy. She just talked.
This is another reason why we love and respect Charlie, for her to tell Dean, no, he's not my type.
Not my type. Dean's like, he's gonna have to play through that.
He's gonna have to play through it. It's fine. She's like, no, he's not a girl. Picture him having boobs. And Charlie's like, what? That's like, not
terrible. Worse.
Worse, yeah. That's what she says, too.
Yeah, I think it is. She's like, worse. Try again. All right, I'll have to walk you through this.
Yeah, I do love... see, this is that whole thing.
There are a lot of things we could say about this.
Dean maybe being bi, I think, what supports this. Not the flirting thing, because he could just do whatever.
Right.
Thinking maybe this is what a girl would want to say to him. But for Dean to ask Charlie... does he look at you? Does he see you when you walk into a room? That's a pretty big tell for a man who seems to me just taking sleazy pickups.
Because
I don't think he's going to infer that about himself. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's just...
I'm just saying that he could have said... people could say that Dean inferring about what he looks for in women...
right,
when do you look at her? Yeah, like, right, okay. Am I watching this woman like that?
Right, sure.
So thinking in this guy, but I'm thinking, because he knows guys, are they looking at you?
Maybe.
I just thought that was interesting.
I know, that wasn't the biggest sell for me, but...
I mean, yeah, the other flirting is that too, but guys are easy though.
This is just an interesting side of this that I didn't think of.
Look how easy it was to pick up this dude. This dude's an idiot.
Okay, listen. Leave him alone. It's not his fault. Dean Winchester was flirting with him, technically.
I know. Like, wow.
That's all Dean does. You work out,
it really shows.
Wow, it shows. Okay, listen. This is all Dean has done his entire life. He's a professional, okay?
Yeah.
If there are professional flirters, it's Dean Winchester. The guy didn't stand a chance. And look how cute Charlie is.
I mean, yeah, she's adorable.
Nothing the guy could have done. He had to flip on his stupid switch.
Yeah, well.
Although, I do appreciate that he did get a little sus. It's like, she's taking a while. I should probably go see where she is.
Yeah, he's not that dumb. He actually does have to make sure he is doing his job.
After she left, the initial charm wore off. He was like, okay, actually, I should probably go see where she is, because that's not great. Mm-hmm. I could get in trouble. Charlie's so smooth. So smooth. Can't believe she got herself out of that situation.
Like, she played it really smart.
I didn't give you my number. Like, Charlie, girl, yes. Killed it. Good thing those emails were almost done downloading.
Yeah, seriously.
That was a close one.
We do find out that Dick Roman's package has come in.
Yep.
What is it? Oh, I don't know. Sam and Dean find it's just a slab of clay, but we find out what it is in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Next episode. Not on this one. We find out what it is, and it's not just a slab of clay.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Pretty big. It's pretty big.
I honestly forgot this is how we get that. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Really? I didn't. I love this episode.
I completely forgot that this. Well, you don't know what it is in this episode. We find out in the next episode. I kind of forgot that this is where they got it.
No, because Dick Roman really wanted this.
Yeah, he did.
Because it has to do with the Leviathans. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not good. Oh, I do like their little bomb that they have. Genius. Charlie could have got out of the building a little faster.
I know. But so close.
She took the stairs because she's not stupid to get stuck in an elevator.
Okay, I would have had to reevaluate my evaluation of Charlie if she had taken the elevator.
Yeah. She's only on the fourth floor, so, you know, just quickly,
you could book it.
Book it downstairs. Yeah. Skip a few steps as your life depends on it.
Because it does. Yeah. You know that he's a monster. They're all monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
I do want to say, before the very end, I liked and disliked how this episode was shot and filmed. I liked the cool side-by-sides of seeing things and then seeing mm-hmm. people's faces. It reminded me of spy movies that I haven't seen, but I did enjoy that.
However, at the airport, is that what you're talking about?
No, of how it was not shot, but pieced together.
Oh, I understand. You would
see Charlie typing.
I understand,
and
yes.
And it would be cut, like, half screen of Charlie's face.
Right, yes, I'm sorry.
Or Charlie flirting, and then it would be a cut of in the middle with Dean flirting back.
Right, yeah.
So just stuff like that. I really liked that part.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I didn't like the airplane part. Because it was, I guess, is a live show.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense, but watching it not live, it doesn't make sense to do that stuff anymore. Does that make sense? To be like, oh, how far are we going to get there? Yeah, we'll make it work. And then, you know, we see Dick Roman get his package. Mm-hmm. And then cut to then 40 minutes earlier.
We did already.
How do we do that? Yeah, so it's like,
it doesn't really matter how they did it. I just thought it was funny. I'm like,
they did that twice, though. And that's what I didn't like.
We get it. Obviously, that's what would have happened.
Yeah. They do the non-linear...
That's fair. They were assuming we were a little bit stupider.
Yeah.
Then we, that's fair. Okay.
I'm just saying it for live TV would have made sense because you have a commercial and then you're like, oh, yes. Duh.
Sure.
But now, when you're not watching it live, you're like, this is stupid and pointless and I'm lost time for no reason.
Kind of like that, what was it? Sucrocorp promotional video in the middle of this episode. I thought that was funny.
I did like that because I do like when they did that with the ghost facers too.
Yeah.
But because, of course, for the live stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, for now, streaming stuff, it's interesting because, obviously, they're not going to put that in there. Right. I mean, they could, but...
No, they did. Well, they did.
No, I'm saying from now on, a show that isn't live isn't going to do that because that's stupid. Why would you put a...
The streaming. Yeah. Instead of having it actually have commercial breaks.
Yeah. But Charlie has to disappear again. And I do love that Charlie even says, you think Charlie Bradbury is my real name?
She's like, oh, no. Sorry. Didn't know you were like a master spy.
Well, yeah, because we do get Charlie back, so it's fine.
We do. And we get to keep calling her Charlie, which is nice.
Yes, I love Charlie so much.
You don't love Charlie as much as Dean loves Charlie. He immediately loves her.
She's like the sister I never wanted. Yeah, what are you talking about? She's the sister you've always wanted.
Look at her. Oh, she can be nerdy with you, honey.
I know.
Aren't you so excited?
I'm so excited.
So cute. Love it. Less cute, though. Sam being super worried about Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
His ghost. Yeah, because then when they were fighting Dick Roman, Bobby was throwing him kind of a lot. They're worried about him becoming vengeful, which is a fair worry, since that's generally what happens to ghosts, and then Dick is kind of the guy who killed him, so...
Bobby did try to calm himself down.
I'm proud of him.
You know, he was like, no, the girl. Gotta pay attention to the girl. Get rid of Dick Roman. But, of course, it just came around like, Dick Roman!
Well, he threw her, and then poor Charlie was hurt, and Bobby was just like, whatever, I'm fighting him.
To be fair, yeah.
He held out long enough, and then she got hurt, and he didn't get those doors open, and he's like, fine, guess I'll fight him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fair, but Sam also has valid worries about Bobby being...
I think he's worried because Dean's not going to do anything.
Yeah, Dean is really has interrupted his grieving process for Bobby now that Bobby's back. It's not that he's unhappy Bobby's back. He's just worried about Bobby.
Because they're going to have to, like, going down
crazy.
Or, you know,
and
what I mean?
Eventually they're going to have to burn the flask. Melt it down. Get rid of it. However you destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be rough.
Yeah, and Dean's not going to want to do it.
That's a second funeral for Bobby.
I know.
That's so sad. And Bobby's still completely willing to work cases with them and help them out, like mm-hmm. he used to. So that's nice. It's rough because they're in that weird in-between.
Mm-hmm.
But every time they work with them, I'm like, this is nice. But also, I feel guilty because Bobby shouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard for them.
Especially with them coming back all the time, I think maybe Dean's holding out for maybe we can find a way to bring Bobby back. You know, Cass is alive now. Maybe we'll wait till he's okay.
That's a fair point.
Maybe I can get Cass to work some magic, even though we burned his body. But
he did get Cass back.
Yeah.
Which that interrupted his grieving process of Cass as well, except it works out because Cass is kind of back. Fully. He's alive.
Yeah.
He's alive. He's crazy, but he's alive and he's safe for the moment. So that's fine. Bobby, on the other hand, apparently they think is just this close to going off the deep end.
Yeah.
So that's a little extra stress on their shoulders.
Okay, I kind of think that's it for these episodes. I feel like a lot happened, and I really did enjoy these episodes because they are good. Season 7 does struggle a lot, I think, for episodes, but these, at least Party on Garth and the Charlie episode, are really, really good episodes to watch.
Yeah.
Just as character building and story building for stuff, because Charlie comes back,
mm-hmm.
and Garth comes back.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of stuff about the Leviathans. It kind of is just a case thing, even though we get something about the Leviathans. It's
just a little extra oomph,
yeah.
in these sort of filler sort of episodes. Just a little extra for us.
Yeah, and they are good. But we are coming to the very end where the next three episodes are going to be the good episodes.
Oh, boy.
I'm so excited.
We're going to start on a storyline that is just, I think, one of the ultimate.
One of my other favorite characters in the entire world next episode.
Yeah, is that so?
Yeah, we do. Do you know who it is?
No. What's the next episode?
Just a little tease. It's Kevin.
Is that the next episode?
Yup.
No.
Yup.
Yes!
Did I open it?
Yes!
Yeah, I'm so excited about the next episode.
Oh, God. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at HunterHosts. Check out our ratings for every episode and see where they fall in our ranking. We are your Hunter Hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We're driving off, and we will see you all next time in our rearview mirror.
Bye. Bye.